Talking about the Pats, Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Revolution, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Now, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand,
the sports show radio host,
on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, it's 105 now on this Friday afternoon, hour number fourth and final hour of the Zolak and Bertrand Show. Hardy and Phil Perry. I'm now being sent shark versus bear videos. It hasn't really settled anything yet, but, you know, there are at least artistic interpretations of what a shark versus a bear fight might look like. Pretty accurate one there. It's think South Park in terms of the animation quality,
and very well done,
and how it would go down. You think that's worth
a lot of expertise goes into a video like that?
Yeah,
a lot of years of training.
Yeah, you know what? In fact, I'll
Photoshop, maybe Final Cut.
Yeah,
I
will tweet out a link to that. So just put it in the information bank, right? When you're trying to decide who would win in a fight between the two. It's going to be very helpful to you. I'll just say that. And we'll also continue with the phone calls on all subjects, including last night's 37-20 win over the Eagles there at Gillette Stadium. and the helmet rule. Yes, that's what Eric, who is going out on the Cape right now, wants to talk about. Go ahead, Eric. You're on with Hardy and Phil Perry. What do you got?
What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Driving down to the Cape. Do plan on swimming when I get down there. As far as the bear shark, that bear would pretty much just see that shark as a very large salmon, probably just enjoy a good snack. And then in regards to the video and what the refs are seeing, do you think hopefully, like before an NFL game, I could watch something very similar to a pre-flight video where an NFL ref explains to me what a legal hit is and then what a non-legal hit is? That would be very, very helpful.
So, Eric, there actually are videos out there where NFL personnel, they've included coaches that are explaining what to look for, what not to look for, what's legal, what's not legal, that are available. And so I will try to tweet those out a little later, at Phil A. Perry on Twitter. But there are exactly what you described there. Little in-flight, instructional, this is what you can do, this is what you cannot do.
Yeah, and one of the most famous ones was from the Super Bowl this year. The hit on Brandon Cooks would be deemed an illegal hit. Is that in one of the official videos?
I'd have to check. I don't remember.
Okay.
I do remember that hit was the source of some controversy in Philadelphia because officials went to talk to Eagles players. Multiple officials had differing opinions as to whether or not that would be a flagged hit.
But now, from that game. Now it appears as though it would be.
If Jenkins lowered his helmet and initiated contact with Brandon Cooks,
yes,
that is a penalty. I honestly, my memory is not good enough to know exactly. I mean, I have an idea, obviously, of what that hit looked like, but I don't remember what it looked like in slow motion. I could try to pull it up here. But I don't know, Hardy. I just do remember Eagles players saying, well, how are we supposed to know what's going on and what we can and can't do if the officials coming to explain to us the rules don't know if they can, you know, if one of these plays is legal or not.
If you're watching us on NBC Sports Boston, you're going to see a video of that hit.
There you go.
From the Super Bowl, so you can we can take a look at it. But I think that's one of the examples of certainly one that I think people watching the game see that hit and they wonder if they're trying to make the game of football safer, shouldn't this be something that isn't allowed anymore? You know, if you're really trying to make the game safer and keep these guys healthy and on the field. Like you said, if for nothing else, for the entertainment aspect of it, you know, that changed the complexity of the game. It didn't lose the Patriots the Super Bowl by any means, but okay, that looked like the type of hit that may be fun in the moment for a second, but like,
Yeah, but what, so you have to think about how that rule or a rule like that would be worded. Like that hit to me, we just saw screen grabs, or we just saw a series of photos depicting that hit. That looked like Jenkins leading with the shoulder, basically throwing his side into the chest of Brandon Cooks. If you take that out, as violent as it may look, you're going to have on the books a rule that is eliminating some of the more gentler tackles that you would ever witness in the NFL.
No,
and that's a place you don't want to be.
And if it's all shoulder, then no, that's right. That stays in. All right.
That looked like a legal hit to me. But again, we're looking at still shots.
Let's talk about Tom Brady a little bit last night. As he came back onto the field, we watched Brian Hoyer in the first week. Didn't really look like we were watching Patriots football. The second Tom Brady took possession of that ball as the Patriots deferred. I don't know if they won the kick last night. All I know is that they did not have possession first. But when the Patriots went out there, started their initial drive, it didn't take long to realize, oh, this is it. This is the Patriots football that we're used to seeing. As we get ourselves all excited for the preseason, football's back. Didn't really feel like it was back last week. As soon as Tom Brady was on the field last night, it was back. It was back. That was it.
And he looked the way we expected. Or I shouldn't even say that, because it was not necessarily the way we expected him to look. Because A, this offseason had been unlike any other for him, and we were wondering, okay, when a game situation arises here, does that missed time in the spring come back to bite him? And B, I think we were wondering, okay, is he fully healthy? He missed last week's game altogether with a reported back injury. He put a lot of those questions to bed last night because he looked as he typically looks in week two of the preseason last night. And you know what? Hardy, the other thing is too, and again, wrote about this on NBCSportsBoston.com. Yes. It is on the website now. That was Brady, I think, in some ways, and the Patriots offensive coaching staff, et cetera, saying, this is time for us to get our regulars right. Let's get our regular guys in a rhythm. Let's get Tom in a rhythm. Let's get Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, James White. Let's get all those guys out there. Let's get them into a flow, in and out of the huddle. Let's move quickly. Last night was not a game for breaking in Tom Brady's new toys. He threw to Cordarrelle Patterson twice, and that was it. No throws to Eric Decker. Handful of guys that are new to the roster, relatively new to the roster, weren't even available. So I think, and I was part of this group too, a lot of people were interested to see, how is he working with the new guys? Because he's going to have to depend on them at some point. At some point in 2018, you can't just go to Chris Hogan and Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski throw after throw after throw. So is it going to be Dorsett? Is it going to be Kenny Britt? Is Braxton Berrios going to make the team? Is Brady going to establish any kind of chemistry with him? Last night wasn't for that. And I asked Brady about it last night, and he basically said, listen, I get plenty of time with those guys in practice and in meetings and watching the film. We still have a long way to go before we find out who's actually going to be contributing to this team.
Coaches do a great job of that.
Coaches do a great job of getting those guys ready. But he basically said, that was not my job last night. That was Tom Brady taking a little bit of me time. That was, I need to get myself ready. I'm not here to usher along the development of Eric Decker or Cordarrelle Patterson. That's not my job.
And how can you argue with it watching last night? Oh, that looked like football. That looked like Patriots football. Not every single drive, not every single snap, but when they were connecting and they were moving the ball seemingly easily for 6-7 yards at a time, not the huge downfield throws and trying to catch safeties off guard. No, that's not the game. That's not what we're expecting to see. And by the way, we haven't brought this up. The one throw over the middle that was a long pass to Chris Hogan that hit him square in the middle of the chest and bounced off. Mm. That's, to me, if we're looking at low moments of the night, that was one. Because here's a guy who is that sneaky downfield threat. You know, for a long time, Rob Gronkowski has probably been your best downfield threat. You wouldn't think of a tight end as being that guy, but he was it. Chris Hogan, at times, has been that guy. Can kind of slide underneath, and all of a sudden, where is he going? Who's got
him? People forget about him.
They tried once to him down the sideline last night. That did not work because he just can't go upstairs and get that ball. And then one time when he was alone in the middle of the field on a lengthy throw, right off the chest. I mean,
that's not on Brady.
No, it wasn't. Of course it's not on Brady.
I mean, like, he checked all the boxes, Hardy. He was accurate. He moved well in the pocket. He looked healthy.
It's a bad moment for Hogan.
Bad moment for Hogan, sure. But I would say one bad moment in a night that was fine for Hogan. That's sure. That's, you know, who Chris Hogan is, essentially. He made a nice play on a scramble drill touchdown. But Brady checked all the boxes. He was accurate. He moved well. He got rid of the football when there was a play that had no chance of being a play for the Patriots. He worked well with the guys that we would expect him to work well with. And he got out of there healthy.
We have a call from Texas. It's Steve joining us now. Hardy and Phil Perry. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
The smart money is on the Shark, okay? Home field advantage for either team is insurmountable. The Shark can't breathe on land. The Bear can't breathe underwater. Mm. The Bear can't attack and hit the Shark in 3 feet of water. And to illustrate this, stand in 3 feet of water, put a basketball down, hold it between your feet, take your open palm and try to swipe through the water as hard as you can and grab that basketball. You can't do it. Physics won't allow the Bear to attack the Shark sufficiently to kill it.
It's a very specific exercise you're recommending we try out.
Steve, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, A. And Steve, B, the Bear is slightly more powerful than you or I, Hardy. So I would think he would have a little bit less of an issue cutting through water, doing what he does every day to feed himself, fishing, essentially, and grabbing a shark, like I said earlier, by the lapels, telling him he's a lowlife, maybe taking a bite out of his face just for fun, and then all of a sudden he's got dinner for his family for the next 6 months.
And a bear would ruin that basketball if he took a swipe at it, because the claws come out.
That's true.
And if it's a tough playground ball,
I hadn't even thought of that.
Maybe it has a chance at surviving.
Yeah, it's got that like outdoor layer.
The blacktop ball.
Yeah, it's like a little rougher.
Yeah.
Those dimples are a little bit more edgy.
But you're going to throw $30 away like that if you try that with a bear. You yourself, take a basketball to the beach. You're going to get some looks.
I'm not comparing.
You're going to get some strange looks.
My
fellow sunbathers.
To a bear's strength. It's just we're different animals.
More of your calls. We're going to have Fake Promo Friday. You've been here for Fake Promo Friday before, Phil?
No, I haven't.
Oh, these are fun.
We didn't do it last week.
No, you'll enjoy it. That'll be coming up toward the end of the show.
Perfect.
Something called Studs and Duds. We're going to pick out, you know, our favorite players and the guys who didn't do themselves any favors.
Long overdue, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll do that next.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Studs and duds from last night's game. Was this a bit that you and Jones did last week?
I think we may have called it Stars and Scrubs. I'm still a little confused as to where we went with this.
I wrote Studs and Duds.
Studs. It could have been Studs and Duds.
How about Stars and
Jones
Duds?
Jones will remember. Jones had a very strong opinion on what we called it, but I can't remember what it was.
You called it Scrubs?
Stars and Scrubs?
Stars and Scrubs.
That might have been it, yeah.
Hmm.
Not sure.
Whatever
studs
it is.
Studs and Scrubs?
Could have been Studs and Scrubs. I mean, it... there's a million different ways you could go with this thing, if we're being honest.
Stars and studs?
Stars and duds.
We'll just keep it all positive.
Yes. No negativity here at all.
No, we're going to go with the good and the bad from
last
night.
Okay, let's do it. What do you want first?
We're going to go, since we haven't talked a lot about the defense, defensively, who do you think stood out last night as a star?
Okay, so a couple of studs defensively. Number one, Adrian Claiborne.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes to give Juwan Bentley the credit for scooping and scoring on that touchdown, and good for him. Nice job by the rookie for the second week in a row, although I thought there's some work still to do with him in pass coverage, but that's neither here nor there. Adrian Claiborne was the player of the night for me. Really, either side of the ball. If they can get a representative pass rush, it's going to help this defense improve in some really critical situations. And I don't know. I've had my doubts that Adrian Claiborne can be that guy, but last night he was that guy. And so if this is a harbinger of things to come for Adrian Claiborne, then that's great news for the Patriots.
We will be looking at that play a couple of times, I'm sure, over the next week or so. We referenced it last night, the scoop and score, which, as you said, was Bentley the actual touchdown scorer?
He was the touchdown scorer. He was the beneficiary of Claiborne's hard work there.
Right.
And he was right place, right time. Good for him. Rush the passer.
The trailer on it, head on a swivel.
Smart. You don't want to pull a Ryan Lewis there.
That's what we were talking about last night. It's like in stark contrast to what we saw from the Redskins game last week.
Oh, boy.
Where I understand you're all excited. It's first big play you're making in preseason game number one. It's a bad look to almost have the play blown up because you started celebrating at the 20.
He was sort of the sacrificial lamb for those types of situations for really the rest of the season. You think there's going to be a single scenario where something like that happens again and the guy, whoever that trailer is, isn't going to have his head on a swivel to try to find anybody to block? No, there's going to be no celebrating by any trailers. They're not even going to sniff that.
No.
For the rest of the year, because yes. Ryan Lewis took that bullet week one of the preseason.
All right. Continuing on.
Yes.
Stars on the offensive side. For me, it's Tom Brady first and foremost,
yep.
Because although he did a lot to dismiss any back injury he was asked about, he said, I'm fine. He didn't give a long explanation about whatever thing he may have been dealing with by saying, well, training camp is tough and everybody works through things all year long and blah, blah. He said, I'm fine. And if you didn't believe him last night, he looked fine and he stepped in a night that we pretty much laid out and said that was a night for him to go out there and to get the ball to the guys that he was already comfortable with and find his rhythm. And he did it last night and he looked great.
He looked great. We've talked about it. I think a couple of other names that I would mention here would be Cordarrelle Patterson. The play where he got blown up and Malcolm Jenkins picked up that penalty for hitting a defenseless receiver should have been a catch. So that's not a great play for Cordarrelle Patterson. But when he got the ball in space, showed that incredible acceleration. Again, you don't really appreciate just how big this guy is until you get a chance to be around him. He is an absolute house. He looks like a tight end, and that he can move the way he can is breathtaking. So good night for him. I would even put Julian Edelman in the category of this is sort of a sneaky stud. Just because I thought he moved well, he took a couple of hard shots. I know he played last week, but the more he can get those types of moments under his belt after a season off, the better off he will be for that. And he had one play, pretty innocuous running play, and the video is circulating on Twitter, and I'll try to retweet it right now. He absolutely destroys some poor slot corner lined up over him. The guy was ready to make a break wherever Edelman was going to go on his passing route. It was not a passing play. Edelman gets off the line of scrimmage and basically bench presses the guy 5 yards backwards and onto his ass. That's a nice moment for somebody like Julian Edelman, who has had to wait a long time before getting those kinds of opportunities. So I put him in the stud category as well.
All right. Speaking of the running game, Matthew wants to weigh in on this. Matthew's in Framingham. Go ahead. You're on with Hardy and Phil Perry filling in for Zoe and Beadle.
Well, as good as Cordarrelle Patterson looked, with the lack of wide receivers, I think the Patriots are going to be throwing a lot to their running backs this season, especially the first 4 weeks with the suspension. But I just had a question for you guys because it seems like Devlin and Bolden are given to make the team. So it's basically going to come down to the three, Jeremy Hill, Gillis Lee, and Ralph Webb. One of those three are going to make the team. I was wondering who you guys think it'll be. For me, I think it's going to be Gillis Lee. But I was wondering who you guys think.
So I'm actually on the Hill side of that argument. I think we could narrow this down even further. It's going to be, I think, one spot for Gillis Lee and Hill. I think those guys are battling for the quote-unquote big back role. Bill Belichick has always had a big back on his roster, somebody for short yardage, goal line situations. Hill can do that. He has done that in Cincinnati. He's looked great. He's lost a little bit of weight, but he's still big enough. I think his vision has been really good this preseason. He's been used as a receiver, and he has been used in the kicking game. And those two elements of his game are something that Gillis Lee really doesn't bring to the table. So not only has Hill been a better runner, in my opinion, so far this summer, he's the better receiver. He is the better kicking game player. And so to me, he's somebody who's going to make the team. And I think he said Bolden looks like a lock to him. Devlin is a lock. He said Bolden looks like a lock. I wouldn't put Bolden in that category. He's a great special teamer as well. But if they feel like they have enough special teams specialists, and if they feel like Hill can give them some decent play in that regard, in that phase of the game, then maybe Brandon Bolden is being pushed for a roster spot as well.
I wanted to say Ralph Webb was a guy I was looking at after the first week. Last night he had 5 carries for 15 yards, a long of 7, so that doesn't leave a whole lot of yardage for the remaining 4 carries. Sounds like 2 yards on each of those 4 carries.
Nice story.
Average.
Ralph Webb's a nice story.
He is a nice story, and I thought he had a nice game last week.
He had an okay game. He scored. He got in the end zone. If you look at his yards per carry there, it wasn't great either. So, listen, undrafted guy out of Vanderbilt. Belichick loves the Vanderbilt guys. He loves the SEC guys. Ralph Webb, by all accounts, good player to have in the locker room. I wouldn't expect him to have a real shot at the roster unless something drastic happens with these injuries.
We do have a couple of Shark and Bear calls that we need to get to.
Did we finish Studs and Duds? I've been waiting literally all show for this.
Oh, yeah. We really didn't do the Duds yet. We
didn't do any Duds. We ended up doing a Stars and Studs
Stars
segment.
And Stripes.
God.
Okay, well let's
can we get negative here?
Yeah,
let's do on the radio.
Let's do the Duds on the other side.
Okay.
Wrap up with a couple. We have a bear call from Alaska on the line.
Oh.
And another one from Worcester where there are a lot of bears. So we'll grab both of those. We'll take care of the Duds, and then we'll finish off the show with Fake Promo Friday. It sounds like a jam-packed final 30 minutes.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Duds from last night's game as the Patriots got the win 37-20. For some reason, Phil Perry wants to go negative, wants to single some.
Just thought that's what we're supposed to do here. It's not who I am, generally.
No, that's fine.
Sometimes.
I got no problems with anybody. They're fantastic. Top to bottom. Ship-shaped this squad.
Classic.
Hoyer didn't look good again.
Classic.
Again, he failed.
Who were you working for last night again?
Pales by pales by comparison when you put him up against the quarterback that was out there for the first half, but that doesn't really count as a dud, I don't think, because he's not a starter. So were there starters last night that had dud like?
Was that Keon Crossan you just mentioned? Yeah, that was a tough one. Not a starter, but tough night for him. Three pass interference. Well, I think it's just I wrote this last night that the timing was off by a tick or 7. When the ball was in the air, you just have to be able to get your head around and try to make a play on the ball or you're going to get flagged. That's something that they'll try to pound into his head over the course of the next few days, I'm sure. I thought Jason McCourty kind of fell into the dud category for me. This is somebody who I had kind of hyped up a little bit based on what we saw from the last handful of practices, mm-hmm. which was a guy who was getting reps with the first team defense, who was making plays when the ball was thrown in his vicinity, whether it was in 11-on-11 periods or one-on-ones, has had a couple of picks this summer, broke up a nice pass from Brady, I believe, to Rob Gronkowski at the goal line during a practice. So I said, okay, this guy had a good year last year for a crap team, but had a good year. I think he still has plenty of football left in those legs. Last night was a little bit concerning to me, and it wasn't just the touchdown that he let up in the red zone there. Not a great play. Bit on the slant. Receiver ends up turning it into a corner route, little post corner, whatever you want to call it, down there in the red zone. Got shook pretty easily by a receiver nobody's ever heard of before. That's not exactly what you're looking for. The other concerning moment for me was on special teams. A, he was out there for special teams, which again, we talked about this earlier. Usually when they're trying to find a role for you in the kicking game, when that's not typically your role, they're just trying to see if you can contribute in that area so that if you do end up making the roster, you will be a usable player because you may not have a full-time regular role either offensively or defensively. So the fact that he was out there caught my eye, A, and B, the one rep that we saw where he was, unfortunately for him, highlighted on the play. Eagles returner started left, broke it to the outside, kind of cut back across the grain in McCourty's direction. I think he's supposed to basically have contain on the outside there. The returner ran right by McCourty, and then McCourty was basically outrun by Steven Gostkowski, and Gostkowski was the one who ended up making the tackle and almost hurting himself. He ended up staying in the game but had to go to the locker room. Looked like a real situation there for a bit, and it was because I think McCourty had a rough rep there.
And again, an even worse look for a guy where they're putting out there as a means to, we want you on the team, we think, let's see what else you can do. And
we've seen him return kicks at times in practice, and it's pretty obvious to me they want to see if they can find him a role in the kicking game.
There was a funny moment in the locker room last night that was reported on after he was asked about the touchdown that he gave up, and Devin shouted from across the locker room, "Hey, I told you, this is Boston. Bleep is different here. Like, you weren't asked about this stuff before, especially in preseason game number two.
Right.
Now you got four guys standing around waiting to talk to you about this."
More than that, I got in there a little bit late. Brady went early, so I was there for that. But by the time I got into the locker room, there were a good 20, 25 people around that guy's locker.
Oh,
and that's how it works here,
God.
Especially when you have a name. He's got the same name as one of the best players on that defense for the last handful of years, and he has a down night. You become a story, and that's something that wasn't the case in Tennessee or in Cleveland.
Just perfect. Devin from across the room, told you.
Well, because he's been there, too. There are a lot of crowds around his locker the first 4 weeks of the season last year, so he knows what that's like.
Quickly, thoughts on J.C. Jackson's night?
Fine, didn't really stand out to me, honestly, one way or the other.
Okay.
I would say my other dud was Eric Decker. You get two targets after a week where you really... You know, it looked like at times you were starting to show some progress, but the drops were an issue big time last week in practice. And then for your first target to get broken up, it looked like to me because he didn't do a good job of coming back to the football. And then for your second target to be just an outright drop, that is a bad day for Eric Decker. So this is a guy I still think, depending on how much time they're willing to give him, has an opportunity to give them some real significant work, but he has not shown that he is capable of doing
that. And to get some significant snaps if he makes the team here, but you got to...
They're going to need a receiver the first 4 weeks of the season. He
yes.
was in the conversation. Last night did not do him any favors.
There are Bears in Worcester. Eric has thoughts on Bears and Sharks. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi. I think that the Shark would definitely lose because a Bear is just like Conor McGregor fighting Floyd Mayweather.
Yes,
is
perfect.
Because
analogy.
It's like the Shark only has one offense, and then the Bear has multiple things. And the other thing, too, is once the Shark bites the Bears, it's just going to let it go, and this Bear so fast, he would probably just pounce on the Shark anyway, and he'd probably just kill him and game over.
Phil Perry's point, but don't sleep on the Shark's tail with the thrashing.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what he was getting at in terms of the Bear having like multiple ways to attack you. I guess he's got the claws and he's got the jaw.
Yeah.
Let's not make it out like the bear is doing jiu-jitsu out there.
You ever play Tekken? Watch Kuma. Kumo, kick.
Good point. Hadn't thought of that.
Josh is in Alaska. You want to talk about Bears?
Let's go, Josh. This is the most exciting call of the day for me.
Final word on Bears today. Wow, he sounds like he's like one of those...
Are you on a ship right now? Are you hunting sharks?
No. No, we don't hunt sharks here.
Oh, what?
We hunt bears, though. We only have salmon sharks here, and they just eat salmon, obviously. They're not that interesting. Well, they do taste good, but...
Hence the name.
Bears, we lose 3 or 4 people at least every year in the state from bear attacks, people getting killed, so I don't know. I guess it depends on where you live, but here we're much more cognizant of bears, especially brown bears, grizzly bears, or whatever they are.
So, Josh, have you ever had an encounter with a bear?
Yeah, several.
Yes. What? How'd that go?
A couple of them got shot by me, and a couple of them we just were able to call it a draw, I guess, and they... You know, it's most of the time it's just surprising them when you're walking or hunting or something like that, and they get surprised. They're the biggest thing out there. They're not afraid of anything, so they usually like to come over and see what's up and smack you around, maybe.
So, Josh,
but that's, you know, they go 0 to 35 miles an hour in 3 steps. They're fast, so and brushy, and you just
that's some Cordero Patterson acceleration
you.
Right there.
Can you imagine a bear at the combine?
Whew. That 40
and
time?
He'd be an excellent running back.
Josh, can I ask you this? So say it sounds like you hunt bears, which makes you the manliest man maybe to ever call this program,
probably.
What if your gun jams? What then is the defense? How do you approach that situation?
Well, they say not to run and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I've never had it happen, but I sure the heck wouldn't want it to happen. I mean,
so you've got no plan, Josh?
I shoot them from far away, but when I'm talking about like close encounters, like 15 feet, 30 feet, something like that. If he wants you, you're dead.
Sounds like you just back an excavator over him. What it sounds like.
Yep. Just back it over and bury him.
All right. Yeah, excellent. Josh,
much more worried about bears.
Hey.
Josh, great call.
If I were you, Josh, I wouldn't worry about anything. He's a man's man living in Alaska.
That guy is hunting bears from afar.
Multiple.
He has shot multiple bears.
Bear encounters.
Okay, but that's how badass a bear is. Like, you won't even the guys who want to hunt them won't get near them because they know they're toast.
Wants nothing to do with them. But he did have a couple of draws, though, against bears.
It shocks me that he has no plan. Like, you're obviously coming into close contact with bears, even if by accident.
Sounds like
times.
On a daily basis in
wouldn't
his
you,
world.
Wouldn't you have some sort of plan of attack there? Not attack, but some sort of defense plan. Like, are you a noise guy? Are you a play dead guy? Are you a run down a hill and zigzag guy? I heard that talked about yesterday as well.
Maybe you keep a chunky bar in your back pocket and throw that at the bear.
Maybe every time you go hunting, you bring some squat little friend of yours who has no chance of being able to run away. Maybe Josh was an athletic dude who could get away in that instance.
Josh, look, you said it. Josh is probably the most manly caller of this. Certainly today, we're not going to top that. So instead, we'll do fake promos to wrap up the show next.
No, no, we don't hunt sharks here.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight today. Awaken180.com. Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy and Phil Perry filling in today. Fake Promo Friday. Phil Perry, you've never been here for a Fake Promo Friday?
Not a once. Nope. I've done the hour-long spots on Beetle and Zoe.
Okay.
But I'm never here for the very end of the show.
Silver, you must have been here for these before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, very good.
Favorite of mine.
We got five fake promos. Phil, as you know, you'll hear show promos throughout the week. You do them on NBC Sports Boston. Mm-hmm. This, we feel, is a more accurate representation of the show. Our fake promos, which really should be real promos, but here we go.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
I'ma talk about you in the night, yeah. In the middle of the night, let me hear you say everything's okay. Me almost says.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I have no idea.
What was that? Meatloaf?
Paradise by the Dashboard Light? You think that's what he was saying?
I don't know.
It was Romeo's tune.
Romeo's tune? I don't know what that is either. It is a song. Okay.
How about T-Bone just dropping that on us like we should know what that is?
Well. He's a pretty hip guy.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
If I could choose and know who's going to be pitching, and I could have both guys sit there and get their iPads out.
What?
Manny could ride his tricycle or go pee in the wall, and the other guy could sit there and say, okay.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Beetle asked him what the hell he was talking about halfway through, and Zoe just didn't stop.
Just kept rolling.
Didn't slow down. Nope.
You can't try to stop that.
No, nope, I got this thing. I got the wipers going. Got the high beams on. Don't worry about
that
it.
That guy is a rolling ball of butcher knives. Coming downhill.
Zoe, by the way.
Tricycle takes.
Zoe not only tweets things that he's watching on TV without real explanation, he'll just tweet things that he's hearing on the radio without any explanation. And he just tweeted a little while ago, 0-35 in 3 steps. Amazing.
It's incredible. Josh coming up big with some serious bear info from Alaska.
And the loading dock.
Well, it took you, though, to quote the tweet and explain it.
So. Well, but people are listening to the show and they see that, and it almost makes it a little funnier. Like, you'll see Zoe live tweet at something on TV.
Right.
And that's pretty funny.
Somebody replied
when
to
you
him,
know what he's
I,
talking about.
What are you talking about? That was the first and only reply to Zoe's tweet other than yours.
Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Duval Gazette.
Jacksonville.com.
Duval!
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Those guys were down at camp, and somebody sent the Jalen Ramsey sound down to them. Apparently, their headphones were up a little too loud.
That was after the AFC divisional round, I think, right? And Jalen Ramsey's addressing the crowd in Jacksonville, but says...
Yes. Yes.
He was fired up.
But when it was played in their headphones down
there... I love Jalen Ramsey.
It was a little too loud. This is the last one, right? Okay, I like it.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Jose is in the South End on Belichick and Brady.
Jose.
Go ahead, Jose.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, and yourself?
Great. What do you got for us?
Who's this?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, that's great. We had one of those earlier today. Guy just kept yelling my name.
Yeah.
In the middle of his question. It was odd.
Like, he was just excited to talk to you.
Tom's telling me we may have one more. We have one
more. Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're not going to get me again. I have my...
It's so good. It's the very end where it's like from the bottom of his gut. It's like the intestines are being ripped from his stomach.
The guy's
Come on, Artie. Break.
Guy's holding a bow and arrow in the video, and he starts to draw it back, and the arrow flips over like me with my...
Okay, now picture an official making that noise when somebody's about to make an illegal hit to the head.
It's all out of my system. It's not going to happen again. Phil, great job.
Thanks, bud.
Sean Silver, thank
Have
you.
Fun. Thanks.
Belgrim has coming up next.